the two of you were drunk. Drunk.
Too young to drink.
We were playing video games. We ran out of alcohol.
But old enough to drive.
He asked me to go get more alcohol. He threw me the keys, and on my way back, I got pulled over. I didn't return because I went to jail.
Oy.
Now his friend's mom is mad.
What happened with the car?
It got impounded.
Now she doesn't have the car anymore.
No.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Audrey Bain is suing her son's former friend, 20-year-old Ben Warren, for the value of her car. Audrey says the vehicle was impounded and damaged after Ben was arrested on a DUI.
Order, all rise. This is case number 224 on the calendar in the matter of Vaim versus Warren. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat.
All right. You could stand up next to your mother. Right. This is your mother, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Your mother had a car. She let you drive the car. You got drunk. He got drunk. He's your friend. One way or another, he got control of the car. Went to get food, cigarette. I don't care what he went to get for it. He trashed the car. That's what happened.
No.
Yeah, sure it is. The car was driven by you while you were drunk? The car was driven by you while you were drunk?
Yes.
Now she doesn't have the car anymore?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, why don't you tell me what happened with the car that you drove drunk?
We were helping her move. She gave us money.
She gave you money for helping her move.
Yes.
And?
We got alcohol with it. And
who got alcohol?
Brian.
That would be you.
Yes, ma'am.
Brian got alcohol.
We got alcohol. We went back to his house.
No, not we. So far, Brian got the alcohol.
Yes.
And how old are you?
20.
So you're not supposed to drink?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And?
We went back to his house, got drunk.
Went back to his house?
Yep.
And?
We were playing video games. We ran out of alcohol.
And you ran out of alcohol?
Yep.
What kind of alcohol had you been drinking?
Smirnoff and Sprite. We had three fists.
Smirnoff and Sprite. Go ahead.
Well, he told me we ran out of money and alcohol. He asked me to go get more alcohol. He threw me the keys, and I went and asked my sister to borrow money. And on my way back, I got pulled over.
You got pulled over?
Yep.
You got pulled over by whom?
The Wyoming police.
Do you go to school?
No, ma'am.
What do you do?
Nothing right now.
Did you graduate from high school?
Yes.
Boy. So you got pulled over by the police in Wyoming, and?
I didn't return because I got pulled over and went to jail.
So you don't know what happened with the car?
It got impounded.
It was impounded?
Yes, ma'am.
And what year car was this?
Not sure, maybe a 93.
What year car?
It's a 99 Ford Taurus.
And when had you purchased it?
I believe it was in the March, beginning of April of this year.
You have a bill of sale?
I do not have the title any longer. We had to give it to the salvage yard when the car was no longer any of
you. Who did you buy it from?
On Craigslist. Me, my husband, and my ex-husband, who is a mechanic, went and looked at it.
Who did you buy it from?
I'm not remembering the person's name, but it was a clear title.
Okay. And how much did you pay for it?
$2,500.
While we're sitting here, would you take a look at 1999 Ford Taurus, please, for me?
I have
now,
one.
Now, what happened to the car? No.
Okay.
What happened to the car?
Like you said, Brian.
Don't tell me the whole story.
Okay.
Now the car is an impound. I'm past everything now. I'm an impound.
Okay, impound. We went to go pick up the car from the impound, and we couldn't start it. So we had to push it out of the impound so we wouldn't have to pay another day for impound and call a tow truck. They towed it to my daughter's house where Brian was residing at the time, and my ex-husband lived there too. Again, like he's a certified mechanic for years. And he was calling around trying to get parts on it and wouldn't start. Anyway, the engine was blown. I'm not real familiar with all the technical details, to be honest.
Do you have proof that you salvaged the car? That you've sent it?
No, I don't have that. I have an estimate bill.
Well, what'd you do with the car?
We gave it to repairs.
Well, sure.
Have that, ma'am.
Why not? You have a whole bunch of other papers.
I know. I don't have that, though.
Well, why not?
Because when you give the car to the salvage yard, you have to give them the title, so I no longer had the title to pull that information back out.
Yeah, but sometimes when you give a car to the salvage yard, you get money.
We did. Brian took it in for
me. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Very good. How much money did you get from the salvage yard?
About $252.
I should have had that to look at.
And Brian already knew that the car was messed up before that, like it before the engine was blown.
There's nothing wrong with the car. I drove it every day to and from work.
Would you please let me know?
V6 or V8?
It's a V6 3.0.
Did you give the $252 to your mother?
I gave her a portion of it, yes. The best part of it. I gave her all the money, then she let me borrow about $50 of it. So ultimately, I did give it all to her, yes.
It's her car, right?
Yeah, she just let me borrow some of the money.
Yeah, well, you should have given all of it because, you know, this is as much your fault as it is his. You understand that, right?
I didn't give him permission to drive the car, nor did I tell him to drink
alcohol. I want to tell you something. A, I don't believe that because you were both drunk. And B, how old are you?
I'm 22.
You're 22. You shouldn't have given a 20-year-old any alcohol.
I didn't.
My dear. But he's still 20, and he still has to take some responsibility. So you're partially responsible for the loss of the car.
I didn't give him permission to take the car, though. I never gave him the keys. That's a lie.
I understand what I said. I don't believe you. I don't believe. Listen to me. Put your hands out. Okay. I don't believe you. The two of you were drunk. Drunk. Drinking all day using the money that your mother gave you to move to go and buy alcohol. So the two of you, he can't absolve himself from... Put that down. I don't care what you said to the police, madam.
That's what he said to the police.
I don't care what you said to the police. What did he say to the police in the report?
On page 5 of the police report.
What did he say to the police?
He recorded the police officer.
What did he say?
I didn't give him permission to take the car.
That is correct.
I just want you to read.
I'll read it to you.
Read it to me.
On page 5 of the police report, it's a jail call from Ben to his mother while he is in jail. It was recorded. This is from the officer speaking. I checked for phone calls from jail, located a call from Ben to his mother at the time of his arrest. Warren's mother asked, and he did not know you took off in it? Regarding Brian, Warren responded no, and that Brian is going to be...
Okay, let me see.
That's not true. That's not what I said to her.
Well, the first interview that he gave was... to the police, and he said that he asked Brian to take the car to go to his sister's house. So you asked Brian, and Brian agreed. He denied taking the car without permission. Warren did not obtain permission from Audrey, but insisted that he had permission from Brian.
Yes, because he gave me
the
keys.
That's a lie.
How much is the car worth?
$1,960, Judge.
$1,960. So this is what we're going to do. $1,960 less... 252 equals 1708 divided by 2 equals $854. So you already have been paid $252.
Somebody was. I got 200. Brian got 52.
Get the other 50 from your kid. But
what about the issues of...
I didn't give him permission to take the car. That's a lie. That says it right there, and it's a lie. Why am I being held responsible for that?
Oh, no. It says here two different things. I'm holding you responsible.
Yes, ma'am. That's why I'm asking.
I'm holding you responsible. You gave a minor alcohol... You drank with a minor, couldn't have purchased the alcohol without you because you had a show ID,
I wasn't the only one there that was 21. I didn't get the alcohol. Somebody else
did. Yeah, good. $854, that's all. Judgment for the plaintiff. You're done.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Haddad versus Haddad. Step forward.
Nabil Haddad is suing his sister, Gail Haddad, for several unpaid loans to help her through a divorce. Gail claims she owes her brother nothing.
Mr. Haddad, this is your sister, and it is your claim that she owes you for a series of loans. Your sister says that nothing could be farther from the truth. You never loaned her any money, and you're just bringing this lawsuit because she came into some money recently, and you are down on your luck and financially insolvent, and she looks like an easy mark. Is that pretty much it?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Okay. First, I want you to tell me, the first loan you gave her was for what and when?
First of all, good afternoon, Your Honor.
Just answer me. Thank you. Good afternoon.
I just want to...
Good morning and good everything else. When and why was the first loan?
The first loan was for $3,000.
$3,000.
To hire an attorney.
Month and year.
That was back on November 2010.
Okay, and I'd like you to tell me something about that loan.
What happened is she went through a bad divorce with her ex. That's the second divorce they have. And then she needed money to hire an attorney because a second divorce, her husband made her sign an agreement on the divorce. He takes everything from her.
Listen to me. I don't care about that. I care about November 2010.
She needed money to hire an attorney. I gave it to her.
And she came to you and asked you for that?
She called me.
Do you recall the conversation? It's a long time ago. You're talking about...
Yes, I remember the whole conversation. She needed money. She tried to get any money from anyone. She couldn't get any. She called me up. I said, honey, I don't have the money, but I will call my cousin, and I will borrow the money from him. And he
don't tell me a conversation that you had with your cousin. I'm not interested.
I gave it to her. I gave her
$3,000. I would like you to show me proof that you gave her that money.
I can,
where it came from, a bank?
No,
a check?
I can show you something here, Your Honor. This is my note. You can see this here, my books, my...
No. Sir, listen to me.
That's all I have. It's my sister. I'm not going to let her sign any papers or nothing.
I'm not asking you for a paper.
I understand
that. Mr. Haddad.
Yes.
Listen to me carefully, sir.
I am.
Your sister says that you never gave her $3,000.
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Mr. Haddad, you're not paying attention.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You have a text message from her indicating she owes you money.
I did not.
You have an email from her. You have any proof of any of this, Mr. Haddad? It all sounds very, very sketchy to me, sir.
You're pop.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Nabil Haddad says his sister, Gail Haddad, owes for several unpaid loans to help her through a divorce.
Now, she says you never gave her any money. That's her response to the $3,000. The burden is on you to show me where the $3,000 came from, either by way of if you borrowed money from a friend and you put it in your bank and gave her a check, that's fine. If you have your cousin here who could testify that he loaned you money in 2010 and you had a discussion with him and the defendant about where the money was going, you have some evidence. What you write in a ledger is no evidence of $3,000, Mr. Haddad.
Okay.
None whatsoever. Now, what was the next amount of money that you're alleging that you loaned to her?
I paid for the airplane ticket to Michigan.
She actually acknowledges that you bought an airplane ticket that she used to go to Michigan to a wedding?
My nephew's wedding.
To a wedding. Okay. Now, you want to tell me the circumstances of you purchasing that ticket and how much it was for?
She had no money, and she couldn't afford to pay it. She didn't want to go. I called her up. I said, hey, you need to go to your nephew's wedding. I got money, a little bit of money in the bank. I'll pay for it, and you'll pay me later. And she goes, no problem. I will pay you later. That's a promise. And so I went and purchased the ticket on my credit card.
Is that what happened, Ms. Hadid?
No, it didn't. That's not what happened. What happened is he called me a few times, kept telling me, hey, you have to go, you have to go. And I said, I don't know if I can. I don't know where to leave the kids, you know. He says a couple of days and all this stuff. And then I had also, I'm going through the bad divorce. I don't know when my attorney wants me to go to court, things like that. I wasn't in the mood to go, you know. But he kept calling me, telling me, you're going. Finally, he called me up and said, hey, that's it. I bought you a ticket. You're going with me. I'm like, okay, I'll go.
What next, Mr. Haddad?
I moved her three times she asked my help personally to help move her from Lancaster to Orange County. We moved her that day, and she told me, okay, it's like $500. And she goes, okay, I owe you $500. And every time I moved her somewhere, I did something for her, we discussed the amount she owes me, the $3,000 plus the $500, now it's $35.
You have any proof of any of this, Mr. Haddad? It all sounds very, very sketchy to me, sir.
Well, I got...
Do you have any proof? Do you have a text message from her indicating she owes you money?
I did not.
Do you have an email from her?
Do
you have any proof whatsoever?
I have, yes, proof. I have proof that she, let me show you the proof here. This is the second time I moved her. I returned her truck back to the rental company, which I paid for the gas, filled it up the way it's supposed to be, and I returned it for her.
Good.
Because she asked me to.
Good.
And she never gave me a dime for it because she told me something.
That's okay. I do a lot of things for my brother, and he's done a lot of things for me over the course of our lifetime.
Yes, but not the employees.
Just a second. Yeah. What I'm telling you is she says she doesn't owe you any money.
Even for the moving?
I want for anything.
And even the moving?
Absolutely.
For even the movie, you owe me nothing.
I told you I needed some help. You said, hey, I'm here for you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here for you.
Okay, very good then.
And I know why you were here for me all the time.
And here's a check for $500 that I gave her and for her daughter,
that
Melissa.
That you gave her for what?
She asked for $500. She asked, she needed money. Yeah, I gave
it to
her.
Mr. Haddad, stop playing with your papers. It's not helping you.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
I didn't have the space for the pool table. Mr. Bean said that I could keep it in his house. There's no storage fee.
Is that about what happened?
Basically, she said that it was mine, that I could have it because of
I don't believe that, Mr. Bean. Not for one second.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Nabil Haddad says his sister, Gail Haddad, owes for several unpaid loans to help her through a divorce.
Okay, this is 2011. This is 2 years ago, and this is made out to Cash.
And then Melissa Haddad, because she couldn't cash it, so I had to put her daughter's name on it, and it's for Gail.
Do you know anything about this?
No, I don't. I don't know.
Goodbye, Mr. Haddad. I can't help you. Thank you very much. Case is dismissed.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Mucinich versus Bean. Step forward.
Cheryl Mucinich is suing her ex-boyfriend, Lester Scott Bean, for the return of a pool table he was storing for her.
Miss Mucinich.
Yes.
When were you divorced?
2008.
How long had you been married?
7 years.
And how long had you and Mr. Bean been a couple?
5 years. We started dating in 2009.
Well, that's 4 years. You were together 5 years, then you would start a dating in 2008.
Correct. Yeah, we're starting on the fifth year when we broke up. I'm sorry. It was a little over 4 years.
So were you together since 2008 or
2009? No,
2009. What month in 2009?
It was August.
Is that when you met?
No, we've known each other since junior high school.
And did you remain in touch during your marriage?
No.
When did you reconnect with Mr. Bean?
We reconnected on Facebook approximately July of that year.
July of?
2009.
Okay. Now, this is what the case is about. When you and your husband divorced, you got a pool table.
Correct.
At some point, the pool table wound up in Mr. Bean's home.
Yes, ma'am.
Month and year, the pool table ended up in your home, Mr. Bean.
I want to say June 2012.
Where had it been between the time you were divorced and June of 2012?
It was originally in my marital residence.
Yes.
And then I moved to a smaller home of 2,500 square feet, and it went to that home. And then I relocated to another place where I have a home that I've rented out historically. I lost about 1,000 square feet of living space and no longer had the means to put it in my home.
Okay. So when you moved into a smaller apartment, mm-hmm. it moved over to Mr. Bean's home.
Yes, ma'am.
Were you and Mr. Bean living together?
No, ma'am.
But you were a couple?
Correct.
So now that you are no longer a couple, you want the pool table back?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Bean says it was a gift to him?
Right.
Okay, so why don't you tell me the circumstances surrounding the pool table going to Mr. Bean's house?
Well, obviously, I didn't have the space for the pool table, and we were in a trusting, loving relationship. He had an extra spare living room area that we could put the pool table in efficiently and enjoy the pool table and use it. It was one of the few things I got out of a very volatile divorce, and a lot of people might think it's silly that I put so much value in a pool table, but it means a lot to me. I spent $5,000 on it when I was making over $200,000 a year, and I became unemployed shortly thereafter because of the economic downturn, and it's one of the few things that I have of value after all that hard work. Mr. Bean said that I could keep it at his house. There's no storage fee. There's no gift. And I just want it back.
So the discussion was, I'm moving into a smaller place. I don't have room for the pool table. How about we put it in your house? I mean, that sounds like a loving, trusting relationship does. You know,
right.
I'd rather not put it in. So how about putting it in your house? Is that about what happened?
Basically, she said that it was mine, that I could have it because of
I don't believe that, Mr. Bean. Not for one second.
Judge Judy continued. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, I don't believe that that's what happened. I believe you were a couple. She said, I'm moving into a smaller place. I don't have room for the pool table. How about we put it in your house so we could all enjoy it? And you did, until you broke up. And when did you break up, Mr. Bean?
Finally, just last March.
Great. Okay. Within 3 days, you get a movie, you go pick up your pool table. Thank you. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
That pool table was given to me as a gift. I helped her out immensely. She was unemployed and...
It'll be sitting in storage temporarily until I get a larger home.
$30,000 in debt when I started going out with her and...
We broke up.
As she got a job and got money, as you can see, I was no longer needed.
Don't trust other people.
When there was no money left and the attitude changed, obviously, I became expendable.